Monarch, Legacy of Monsters, an Apple original series.
The world is on fire. I decided to do something about it.
On November 17th.
This place, it's not ours. Believe me.
The most massive event of the year arrives.
If you come with me, you'll know everything, I promise.
Oh my God, go, go, go!
Monarch, Legacy of Monsters. Streaming November 17th, only on Apple TV+.
What's up? Jason Tatum here. Ball up wherever you are with NBA 2K Mobile. Play in-game events to collect NBA legends and rising stars to assemble your dream team and settle things on the court. NBA 2K Mobile lets you put together your dream team with your favorite NBA legends and current GOATs. Download NBA 2K Mobile now on the App Store and Google Play.
So I'm constantly like being inspired by the littlest things, like that room over there. I was like, this is sick. Like, this is so beautiful.
Yep.
Like, it's very like chic, very minimal. Like, and it
absolutely,
it's just weird. Like, being able to let yourself be inspired by everything.
Yeah.
And learning everything about what you want to do and how you can be the best version of yourself.
All right, what's going on, everyone? Casey Adams here. Welcome back to the Rise of the Young podcast. Today, we have the one and only Aaron Carpenter on the show today. And I've been following Aaron for quite some time now on social media, and he's recently signed to Capitol Records. And we're going to catch up more so on what he's been up to these last 5-6 years since you've been on social media killing it. Because real quick for the viewers, I've been following Aaron, I would say, way back before I was on social media, before I was doing anything online, when you were part of the MagCon group, right? Which we'll get into.
Yeah.
But it's super cool. I was on Instagram the other day, and I saw you come up on just, I've been following you for a while, like I said, and I was like, let me just shoot him a DM, see what's up. And now we're here in LA and we're shooting this podcast. So I appreciate you coming on the show.
Yeah,
man.
Thanks so much for having me, man.
So first off, I want to give a huge shout out to the Location Portal for giving this beautiful view and location to shoot this podcast from. As you can see behind us, we have a beautiful view of downtown LA. And yeah, it's super cool. So make sure you check them out. But that being said, Aaron, I'm super excited. This is our first time meeting. And for the people that may not know who you are and what you do, I first want to give them a synopsis of like a quick 30-second rundown of what you're currently working on and give them just some sense into who you are before we get into the story.
Yeah, so quick little 30-second rundown. I am a singer, songwriter, and I've been living in LA for about 3 years now. Grew up in Louisiana, signed to Capitol Records over a year ago, and just been working on music ever since I moved out here. And everything's been super sick. Like,
yeah.
I come from the social media world, but music's always been the number one for me, and
for sure.
Social media gave me that opportunity. So
that's super
tight. Now we're here.
For sure, man. It's funny because we were just talking, like, Capitol Records, it's like, as you said, you use social media as a vehicle. You've built this brand of what you have, like 3.7 million followers on Instagram.
Mm-hmm.
It's funny, right before we started this, I was like, yo, you on TikTok? He's like, nah, dude. And I'm like, all right, let me check. He has 1.2 million followers. I'm like, all right.
I am on TikTok. And I'm just not as active as I need to be
and
as I should be, because I have people on there waiting for content and I need to step up my game and revisit it and come back.
Gotcha, man. And really just to get into it, man, so bring us back. I know, like you said, you got into social media, and like I mentioned this group called MagCon. That's where I found out who you are. But I want you to take the audience back to really when you got started on social media from Louisiana. You know, what did high school look like for you?
Yeah.
Did you imagine you would be living in LA, a singer-songwriter at 21 years old? Or like, what was the process that led you to starting social media, creating content? Because I think that if people look up to you now, it's like, wow, you know, he's killing it. He's signed to a label. He has millions of followers. And I really want to give people the opportunity to know the backstory of like, what made you get into what you're doing? So I'll hand it over to you, man. Like, Louisiana Aaron at 15 years old, like, what was he up to?
So it actually started a little bit earlier than that. I was, it was 2011. So I was 12, had just turned 13 that October. And that Christmas, my parents got me an iPod for Christmas. And I was like, all right, sick. And also a little more preface on that. I grew up always having an infatuation with the most random things, like across the board. Like, it started out, I was obsessed with Rubik's Cubes.
Okay.
And I started mowing lawns, saving up cash to buy, like, order myself some Rubik's Cubes. Yeah. And then learning how to solve them. And eventually got to the point where I could solve them really, really fast. And then it was fishing, it was dirt bikes and magic and technology, which the most random things. I mean, growing up in Louisiana, there's not an endless amount of things you can do. So you kind of have to be a little creative. And another one of those things was drums. Drums was the first thing I would say. I joined middle school band.
Okay.
And my school was a very small high school. It was from nursery to senior year in high school.
Gotcha.
So in that whole, the attendance number is like 1,200 from nursery to senior year.
Yeah.
So my high school class was like 40 people, 40 to 50.
Got it.
And yeah, so I joined the middle school band, and it's really our high school band, but there was like 13 people in there, and I was in percussion, and I became obsessed.
Got it.
And yeah, that's kind of like the intro to my music. And so and the next thing, the last thing was technology. And so I got an iPod for Christmas.
Yeah.
And I was asking my cooler older sister, hey, what are some cool like apps or stuff I can download that's not just like little
games or something?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
I got you.
So
this is 2011, 2012?
Yeah, 2011.
Okay.
The 2011 Christmas. Okay. And I was on Facebook, which what is a 13-year-old doing on Facebook?
Yeah,
100%. But anyways, yeah, she told me like, hey, download Instagram, and like me and all my friends are on it. I was like, all right, sure, whatever. I downloaded it, messed around on it for a bit, and I hated it. And I was like, nah, this is whack. So I deleted it. And then I went back to school that after the Christmas break.
Okay.
And
you're in high school or middle school?
This was seventh grade.
Okay,
or
this is early. This is early.
Yeah. Yeah, before high school.
Okay.
So eighth grade, seventh.
Okay.
Sometime in middle school, however old you are, whatever grade you're in when you're 13. And so I went back to school, and all my friends were like, you gotta get on Instagram. Like, they said, there's no parents on there. And I was like, what? Like, how do they monitor if there's parents or not?
Yeah.
And I was like, yeah, whatever. So I re-downloaded it and followed all my friends and my family that was on it at the time, because not all of them were on it.
Yeah, it was early.
Yeah. And I just started posting like my feet, like a cool view. Like I would definitely have posted that view.
Yeah.
or like my dog or a lamp or the most random things no one really engaged with.
Yep.
And it wasn't until I posted a photo of like me and my friends out one weekend, like we went and TP'd someone's house, and I posted a photo of us in front of the house. Kind of exposed us too, because like, we know who did it. But, and I noticed people really engaged with that. A lot more people liked it. People I didn't know in my high school that knew me.
Yep.
And I saw like people I didn't know that didn't even live in Louisiana that were liking it. I was like, why? Like, how did they find my photo? And that sparked that interest thing in my mind where I was like, okay, like, I'm like, okay, like, sick. This is something else I can see myself really learning and analyzing and
mastering overall, you know what I'm saying?
And, well, at least try to.
Yeah.
And, so I started to like really become really interested in social media and how, like, I wanted to figure out how that, like, these few people that like my photo found my profile of all of Instagram that don't know me and why they liked it. And I found out it was the notifications. You can see who you follow, their interactions with other people. And I guess that's just my assumption.
Okay.
That's how they found me. And so back in 2012 now, there was the popular page on Instagram.
Yep.
And that was like 100 photos of all of Instagram that were on that page.
Yeah.
And they would only like, I would notice like, why are these photos here? Like, what's the... Like,
why are they going
selected?
Viral? And
yeah, like, why are they? Why are they on there?
Yeah.
And so, I started to like. I found a few people who were like not celebrities, but had a massive following on Instagram at the time. I remember I found this kid. He was like had 60,000 followers. I was like, why? Who is he? Like, what does he do? And so
an influencer nowadays, right? Because this
like,
is way back.
I was like,
you're an OG
this?
In the space.
Yeah. So I was like, what? like, why does he have followers? And I would always see his photo on the Bobby page. I was like, how do I get my photo on there? So I started looking and analyzing of like, what about each of his photos
would make
makes
it
on there?
Yeah.
And how soon it would get on there. And so I was like, all right, cool. So over a bit of time, I started gaining a bit of followers, like just through being in high school, my friends posting photos with me, different high school friends
like
following
people,
me.
Local people, everyone's posting,
And so I around this point, I had significantly more followers than everyone in my school, and everyone was like, how?
are we talking like what, 1,000, 10,000, 100,000?
Yeah, so I remember
vividly. Because I think this is super cool to understand of like people listening like in high school, because then it gets crazy. Like when you had, what amount of followers was it when you were like, okay, this is picking up?
So I remember vividly, I was in science class. It was second period in whatever grade I was in. I had hit 1,000 followers. And I was like, I looked over at the person to the right of me, and she was, I was like, yo, I just hit 1,000 followers on Instagram. And that was like significantly
100%.
More than, like, everyone else had like a couple hundred.
Yeah.
And they were like, who cares? Like, that's whack. Like, nobody cares. I was like, I think it's dope. I started running with it, and I remember I posted a photo, and it was, I think it was just a selfie, and it made the popular page, and I was like, what about it made the popular page? And then I started to gain thousands of likes, and I tripled in followers, and I was like, I gotta do that again.
Yeah.
And just studying how, just being very analytical of like, what time did I post this photo, who's liking it, and what area are they from, like every bit of information you could squeeze out of it, I was thinking about without knowing what I was doing, to be honest. I was just kind of, I was just really interested in it, like, without thinking long term.
And I'm curious too, so like, for like, just even the sake of timing, like, when you were started to post on social media, like, what was that breakthrough moment where you're like, okay, like, now that I'm getting some followers and attention, what was the breakthrough moment of like, okay, let me take this seriously, and then opportunities started coming up, and then you got a part of this, like, you know what I'm saying, back to the point, which you, if you don't want to talk about it, the MagCon group, right? That's, I want to bring this up, because this is something that I've seen someone like yourself or Sean Mendez or Nash Greer, people that I used to follow and still do, and I'm like, hell yeah, they're killing it. Like, what made you a part, and more so, what got you involved with such a prominent group of people, but also like, what led to that? Because you were early stages, like the biggest influencers in the game, in my perspective, and I'm sure a lot of people would agree with that. So like, what was that pivot point from like, okay, let me download this app, my sister told me to get it, to like, wow, I'm getting a lot of attention, and now there's opportunities to like connect and collaborate with all these massive influencers, you'd call them nowadays.
Yeah, so that first moment led to many more, until eventually I figured out how the popular page worked.
Yeah.
And I was really growing my followers. I would have a photo on there 3 times a day, so basically all day.
That's crazy.
And I would gain thousands of followers, and then eventually they took away the popular page, and it was the explore page, where it's curated off of that.
So one different now, interest. Like, you saying that, I'm like, wow, what a golden age of time.
it was awesome. And still is. I still love Instagram. And I figured out my niche of like who I was posting for and all that. So the breakthrough moment was the first time I realized, I was like, okay, like, this is more than just something that's cool, is I got sent a shirt from Young and Reckless, and
no way,
when they were launching. And I was like,
shout out the drama, we got an event coming up this Saturday.
And they sent me a shirt, and I had like 57,000 followers at the time.
Okay.
And they were like, yeah, like, shirts for free. And I was like, sick, like, free clothes, like, awesome.
Yeah.
And I just posted a photo with me in it, and I was like, okay, like, I can definitely see how this can be more than just something that's,
you get a free product, you're like, okay, this is tight now.
And that wasn't the full breakthrough moment, but I would say one day after school, my mom picked me up, and she was like, hey, our family friend from wherever wants to meet with you about your social media. And I was at like 200,000 followers at this point.
Okay.
And I was like, that's really random, what do they want to meet about? And he was the president, his name's Bart Bordelon.
Okay.
He's the president of this app, which no longer exists. It was like a live stream / subscription based app, where you could have like a public and a private page. Subscription gives you like more access,
content and information, all that stuff.
So we set up a deal where he originally hit me up because I was promoting a meet and greet in Dallas, where I have family, and I knew I was going to go visit them.
Yeah, yeah.
So I was just posting on my socials. I had Twitter and a YouTube at this point.
Okay.
And I would promote on those. I had like 2,000 followers on Twitter and like 10,000 on YouTube. And I was like, hey, I'm gonna be doing a meetup in Dallas at the Galleria Mall, 5 p.m. Come meet me by the ice rink.
Yeah.
And like at this day. And I promoted it for like a month. And he hit me up right before, like about a week and a half before I was gonna go. And he was like, hey, like gave me the rundown of their app. And our first project, like let's live stream your meet and greet and you post and so people can watch it online. So I was like, all right, sick. Let's do it. And I went to the meet and greet. Like I'm on the way to the meet and greet and I started to like freak out. I was like, I don't know if anybody's coming. I posted and asked who's coming and nobody was commenting anything. I was like, watch me show up. I have two of my friends here. Like, I'm gonna be embarrassed if nobody shows up. I've been hyping this up for a month. And my mom told me best advice, like some of the best advice anyone can give is whether one person shows up, two people show up, 1,000 people show up, you're the same person, they're coming to meet you.
Yep.
So
like be grateful.
Yeah, be grateful. Yeah. Like these are people who follow you and admire you. Be grateful and meet them. So I was like, you're right. Like I just gotta get out of my head.
Yeah.
Like, this is awesome.
That's so cool.
So I got there and I started the live stream, and this is before Instagram had a link in bio.
Or Instagram Live.
Yeah, any of that. So I had to in detail explain in the caption how to get to
the
website. And it was wild. I was like, click this, then go here, then drag, like all that.
That's so hilarious.
So I posted it and started the live stream, and then I saw how many people were there. There was 300 people that showed up. And I was like, this is more than I thought.
Oh my gosh.
And so also there's other people in the mall that are just like, what's going on? Like no idea. There's mall security. And I was a super shy kid also.
Okay.
Like very kept to
myself.
That's
interesting. So you're super shy promoting a meetup of people to come meet you.
Yeah.
It's sort of like, huh, like what made you want to promote it? Was it like everyone was doing meetups or were you just like, hey, let me connect with these people online? Yeah.
So I had seen people do book signings. I had seen people do concerts and meet and greets before. And I saw comments of people being like, yo, like I want to meet you.
Yeah.
And I was like, well, I'm going to Dallas soon. Like, I'll do that. Like someone was like, have a meetup in Dallas. I was like, why not? Like, sure. So I just felt led to
make it
do
happen.
That. Yeah.
Interesting. And so with that, like that, and you were doing that independently by yourself back then?
Yes.
Okay. Okay. So moving into high school, is this like early in high school still?
Yes. This is summer. This is summer right before high school.
Oh, wow. So like you're going into high school, you got 300 people pulling up to a mall, you got like the most followers in school, and you're like, okay, what is this Instagram social media thing I'm getting into?
Yeah.
And then you get into high school and like, what was the next 4 years of your life look like?
Yeah.
Because I'm sure that was the massive transition period, right?
Yes. So this is where things start to get like, it's the kind of growing up that you do after high school. I had to do not right then, but in this period.
Okay.
I went back home and met with them to see how everything went.
Yep.
And they were like, our app crashed. We weren't prepared for that many people. I had like 2,000 people watching.
That's crazy.
And they were like, we want to do another. We want to send you to Houston, Indianapolis, and Atlanta. And I was like, wow, I can travel because of this.
Yeah, yeah.
And then in my first thought was, I have friends that do the same thing I do that just figured it out and had a fan base. I was like, why don't I get them on this app and they come with me to these malls because I'm going to their cities.
Yeah.
And so I was like, what if I hit them up? And then it snowballed into the, what if we rented out a hotel ballroom? What if we sold tickets? What if we sold merch?
Yeah.
And then it snowballed into MagCon. And it was originally like Mag Convention. And then, I had.
So you originally, did you start the MagCon?
Yeah.
I did not even know that. That's so tight.
So it was completely run out of where I'm from Shreveport.
Okay, that's tight.
And I hit up Taylor. I still have my DMs with him of me
asking
Taylor Kniff?
Him.
Yeah.
That's so funny.
And I had Cam's contact. I sent it to Bart. And then I forget who got a hold of Sam Potter, if I think someone just hit him up.
Yeah, yeah.
And then this other kid, Michael Martin. And we had this first event in Houston, and we sold out. We had 384 people there, bought tickets, and I was just so blown away at the thought of it. And that was when I was like, all right, like, Like, this is
that's so something cool. To the run business with. Side of it, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You're selling tickets, you're selling merch, you're renting out thing. Like, you're now creating real life experiences and not only making money, but it's like, it's taking from this platform of just like likes and followers to like making it real and like you're meeting people. And that's, I'm sure that was crazy. So then that happens. And then what?
So after the first show, I remember getting back to my hotel room and being like, man, like, I want to sing. Like, I want to sing at these things. But I was way too shy. I was 14 now.
Wow, so you're 14 years old doing
this. Yeah, so I was,
that's insane.
I was very in my shell and very in my head and very, I just wasn't confident in my voice. I'd never sang in front of more people than anyone in my family except for like in second grade at a play.
Yeah.
I sang in a play and I was like mortified after because I was like, I don't know how
Yeah.
But I remember it being like, yeah, like I want to sing at this stuff, but I just thought it wasn't a possibility because I was way too in my head and not confident enough.
Yep.
And so we got another, like Cameron came back with me to Louisiana. He came on
Cameron Dallas for everyone wondering, correct?
Cameron Dallas, He came back with me and lived with me in Louisiana for about a month and a half, 2 months. And I remember after that show going through Vine and like showing each other like, yo, look at this dude, like, cool.
Yeah.
And then I remember I met like Jack and Jack over FaceTime that weekend. And he was about to fly from Louisiana to Omaha to meet up with them. And
so it was like the small click group of friends that were doing stuff on social, building audiences early days.
Yeah. And
that's
so even at this point, I'm not even on Vine, which is...
And then question two, though, real quick. Of like, when you're 14 selling tickets, like, are your parents or like, are they helping you from a, like, hey, you're 14 years old to go rent out a ballroom? Or was it just your Bart, you said it was he the one helping with everything from a business like perspective? Because I'm sure a lot of young people listening to this show, you know, it's called Rise to the Young.
Yeah.
I like to talk to young entrepreneurs, whether they're 14, 13, 16, 15, or 25, whatever it is. So, and I know they always ask themselves, like, oh, like, do I need to ask my parents? What's the process there? Like, what was your take on that of being 14 years old doing all this?
So I lucked out having a super supportive family. And my stepdad was a financial advisor, which was great.
Yeah.
And my sister actually worked for MagCon for a bit as well. So we were all, like my entire family would come to these things all the time.
Okay.
And like they helped me out with everything. Like they had lawyers that would look over my contracts and all that.
Oh, that's so sick.
And it was nice because I had that early on to kind of already start learning about that at such a young age.
Yeah.
Like 14, reading contracts.
Knowing what a contract is, you know?
Yeah. And so, and like learning, like, I'm glad I went through it so young because you have the hiccups and the mistakes that you make.
Yep.
And I'm glad I've been through the never sign the first contract you get and like the negotiation, but like all of the
tip
mistakes
of the day.
Yeah, never sign the first contract.
Got it.
Yeah, like just all those mistakes and hiccups and bumps in the roads and things to look out for we went through, and I think it's something like it's just I'm glad it happened to me young
for sure,
and I got to learn about that firsthand.
So and I'm glad you said that too, because I think a lot of people like understanding that the contracts and the importance of everything, it's super important. So MagCon real quick, so long story short, you have this first event and you're like, whoa, and you're like, so many people, let me collaborate with a lot of these different influencers, because I want to sort of pivot back to like, how can someone utilize this today? Because, you know, I do a lot of events myself and I collaborate with people. And I noticed that, like, from an early stage of someone that's been dominating social media, like, you took collaboration serious. And I want to ask you, and I will, like, nowadays with social media, like, what is the best thing to grow? Like, because I wanted to really think, like, looking back, you guys had this clique, you had this group, everyone was promoting each other. And, like, do you think that still applies today? And if so, at what caliber?
Of course. I think the first time me and all the guys were together, it was something we all realized like immediately. Was okay. Like, okay, collaboration.
And do you want to just real quick too, if people may not know what MagCon is, or like the group of people, the guys, because some of these people, including yourself, are like the biggest names in music and just everything, you know? So I would love for you to just give a list of names just so people can get aware if they aren't already.
So the core group of nine guys was me, Cameron Dallas, Taya Kniff, Sean Mendez, Matthew Espinosa, Jack and Jack, Carter Reynolds, and Nash Greer.
Okay. And do you guys all still talk? I'm curious from a personal perspective. Are you guys still all homies? Because like there's so much going on in everyone's life, right?
So I we all talk to each other very sporadically. Like My birthday was recently, so I talked to a lot of them.
Okay.
And they hit me up and said happy
birthday. Happy birthday, by the way. He's 21 now, 2 days ago, as of this podcast that we're recording it.
But yeah, like, some people, like, obviously, me and Sean aren't going to be talking every single day. Like, I think I ran into him, like, a year ago. Okay. It was the last time I saw
him. That's so cool, though. Like, I'm so curious, too, because, like, you guys were, like, 14 years old in hotel rooms, and like now, like, let's say someone like Shawn Mendes, right? He's doing world tours and all this crazy stuff, killing the game. Like, do you guys still like ever like if when you guys do talk, it's like I'm sure seeing that is so fulfilling for everyone. Of like you guys, young kids, we're all just social.
Like, I mean, I can't speak for everybody, but I'm just like it's sick to see where everybody's
100%. Like,
I'm proud of him. Nash is a dad. That's so sick. That's his baby is adorable. Sean's doing his thing, killing it. Cam's doing his thing. Like everybody's kind of. It's been interesting to see where every person has kind of gone since then. And it's just sick.
And I see it as like an outsider of like MadCon was like the incubator for everyone talent wise. Like that's how I found out about all these people. So like being someone like yourself that like created this hub of attention, it's super cool to witness and be able to have this conversation. Cause I'm sure a lot of people listening today are very, very aware of MadCon and what you created and to see how like it's spurred into everyone is in their own lane. So like focused and still killing to this day. It's just super, super cool.
Yeah. Well, thank
you. I mean, next thing, man, I mean, I think nowadays I want to just in the sake of timing, we got probably about a good 20 minutes or so. Oh, we got more time? Cool. Cut that. So in terms of nowadays, I wanted to bring something up and just trying to get the story behind it. So I was recently on Instagram, right? And one of my favorite people, Selena Gomez, right? Yes. So, and I was talking to my brother about this, right? I'm like, yeah, we're about to go interview Aaron, checking him out. And he's on his on her Instagram page. And like, you're the last picture of just you and Selena. And she's like, love my dude, Aaron. And I'm like, savage, beast, epic. What's the story behind that? Because like, I was just curious from a personal perspective, but I want people, and I'll make sure to link it below, like just the picture of you and Selena on her profile. Like she's an amazing, killing the game in all avenues of life. So I'd love to know your relationship there in terms of like the story behind that, because you've been able to connect and network and just be a part of so many amazing people's lives. And I more so not only just want to talk about the story of it, but like the importance of networking after that question. Cause I'm sure like you living in LA, you understand that. And I really want you to talk to the people that may be in Louisiana, 14 years old, not knowing what to do. Like the importance of the great people in your life, you know? So I'd love for you to just number one, touch on the story of that, but then the importance of more so networking.
Yeah. So, me and Selena met about a year and a half ago. My girlfriend is one of her best friends. And so I met her through her, and we also have the same management, but I met her through my girl.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so, since then we just started to hang out and we all started to become better friends as the days go on. And, just started like, we're just there for each other. Like we'll go through something and she can give me advice on stuff that nobody else can because she's been through it.
Yeah.
And she's already experienced everything that I'm starting. Mm-hmm. And she can give me advice with that, with music, how to be more honest in my music, with lyrics. And
for sure.
She's just been incredible in that way. And that's also something I would say is important with the networking aspect of like having people in the same lane as you to like someone who's
been through
everything and can like kind of just give you a lot of advice and things to look out for. Like if I were to have a conversation with a new influencer, I would be like, watch out for this, like do this. And she's an angel. Like she's an incredible person.
That's awesome.
Beautiful heart.
And fun fact, isn't she like one of the most followed people on Instagram?
Yes,
right?
She's like
number two.
I don't know the exact number, but she's
so crazy.
Up there.
Yeah. It's so cool to see what she's doing. I was just seeing through more so like the impact she's actually like creating with her platform. It's super cool because like you know, everyone follows a lot of massive influencers and just someone that's on social. I've seen her just really use her platform for something amazing, which is super cool.
It's something super admirable. She really loves to help, and that's
cool.
Something that it's inspired me.
That's super cool, man. So networking, mentorship, I want to sort of touch on this for a second because I think the importance of that for not only myself but the people watching or the people that want to become entrepreneurs or influencers or whatever it is, What would you say, and I know you briefly touched on it there, like from a mentorship from a young age, like did you always have mentors? I know you talked about like you had a great support system with your family, but like moving to LA at 18 and now getting into the music business, like I really want you to touch on like maybe who were some of your mentors, but more so like how you utilize these mentors. Because I think maybe there's a 14-year-old that's shy, that's scared to ask questions, that they're scared to talk up more. Like what was that process like for you that led you to being able to have these great people in your life, but being able to utilize them when times are tough, let's say?
So I would say mentor, quote unquote, would have been Cameron in that sense. Because when I first started coming out to LA, I would stay with him and I'd like crash on the couch or a spare bedroom. And he's 4 years older than me.
Okay.
So I had him to like kind of, he's like became one of my brothers in a sense. And he really looked out for me the entire time I've been out here and kind of helped me see through certain things. And like I would say he was a person that really helped guide me and look out for me from an early age. Cause like I moved out here alone and my brother and sister are back, or my brother lives in Colorado now, but my brother and sister and family all lived back in Louisiana. So he was in the same world as me and kind of looking out for me in all of social media. When I moved out here, I knew I wanted to move out here for music. And the years leading up to that, it was a big mental game because I knew making this transition of social media to music is that comes with a lot. And so I knew once I started to do that, I would get some backlash of people being like, you're just doing this for money. You're doing this for ABC reasons.
Okay.
And I just kind of had to build my own confidence up and really believe in myself. And because I didn't want to just move out here just to kick rocks and spend all of my savings. Like, I didn't want to do that. It's essentially an investment into myself of
for sure
getting an apartment and buying instruments to learn how to play through YouTube. And
and just the everyday life of LA, right?
Yeah, exactly.
we were saying you go outside and, you know, a piece of toast is $40. Water is 50, like just LA life,
exactly,
right? Like,
yeah.
And we'll touch on that, but continue.
But yeah, so when I moved out here, I moved in and I had my own apartment and I noticed it was different than
it lonely at all? I'm curious.
That's what
because I moved out a year ago too with people, but I always ask myself like, okay, like if I was to move out by myself, and I think people listening as well, if they're looking to move out, like take us through that process of like you're 18, you move to a massive city like LA alone, like loneliness, you don't know what tomorrow looks like. What did you go through there that you'd like to give to people as someone that's been through that?
So for me, I was fortunate enough to visit LA a lot and kind of have some friends and be familiar with the city.
Yep.
And so when I moved out here, I noticed I wasn't staying with my friends. I was waking up and I was alone. And I'd be like, what am I gonna do today? Like I have to hit up my friends instead of just waking up and being with them. I noticed I had a lot more downtime than I did when I was visiting.
Yep.
And so the first thing I did was I'm gonna go to Guitar Center and buy a guitar and a piano and start teaching myself how to play through YouTube videos.
Okay.
And so I did that, and I just had a lot of downtime.
Okay.
And it was a little confusing at first. It wasn't. It was still a transition, but it wasn't a massive one because, like I said, I visited out a lot.
Coming here for a week, and 2 weeks, and 3 weeks.
Yeah.
Sort of like me necessarily. I'll come out here for a week and be like, okay, I feel like I live there for this week.
Yeah.
But then I'm out.
It's like right when you settle in, you're like, oh wait, my flight's tomorrow.
Yeah. And yeah. 100%.
Like I just need to get out here.
Yeah.
So like about couple weeks after I turned 18, I moved out.
Okay.
And it was a bit of a transition because I was like, oh, I have to take out the trash now. I have to
do the dishes.
I have to do the dishes.
Do my laundry.
I have to buy toilet paper. I have to buy toothpaste. All that little stuff that you never think about. You're like, whoa. I was telling someone the other day, we were walking past like a furniture store. I was like, yo, that's a cool lamp. And I was like, that's the transition that happens when you're here alone. You're like, wow, I just really got so drawn to a lamp.
Yeah.
But
that's funny as hell, bro. 100%, like, that's so true.
Looking at interior design and enjoying it. Like, it's fun.
Totally.
But so I started doing that because I moved out here for music again.
Okay. And at the time, just music-wise, just so people, I want to really grasp it of like, okay, so your goal, you have a massive social media following at the time. You have friends in LA, but your true passion and goal is music, right? Yeah. So you move out here with that as being the intent. Where are you as of right now when you move out in your music career? You're 18, you're now you're 21, it's been 3 years.
Yeah.
Like you moving out to now having a record deal with Capitol Records, big difference, right? So kind of take us through that process of like, what does that look like? Because I think anyone can learn from this, not only from a music perspective, but just like they have this goal, right? They go somewhere for a core purpose and you've achieved that and this is just the beginning. But what was that like starting ground which led you to being in these circles with people and then now record labels and now getting signed? Like bring us through that process.
So it all started with, I'll give a little backstory to it leading up. I remember telling my mom, like, I'm looking at apartments. I thought you should know because I'm turning 18 like in a week. And I don't want to just blindside you and be like, all right, I'm out.
Yeah.
But I'm looking at apartments and I'm pretty sure I found one. And she was like, are you sure you need to move there? Like to do what you do, you can't just keep visiting like you are. I was like, no, like I feel like it's the right move for me to move there. And it's kind of a hard thing to understand if you've never been in LA. Because like you can walk down the street and meet somebody that can introduce you to someone else, and not saying like come out here and use people at all.
Yeah.
But one thing leads to another out here, and it's like super random. So after literally a month of living here, I went to a party to support Cam. He was he was hosting something, getting some award, and I met this guy who was an agent at WME. And he was a scripting agent, not my world really.
Yeah.
But I was like, sick. And we talked for a bit. He's like, what are you interested in? Like, what's your deal? Like, I know of you.
Yeah.
Like, what's your deal? And I was like, I want to get into music. He's like, oh, like, we should stay in touch. Like, we exchanged contact info. Yeah. I went home that night. I texted him. I was like, yo, great to meet you. And he texted me back. He's like, great meeting you too. And I was like, it's the last I'm ever going to hear from this guy. But the next day I woke up and I was like, I should text him again. Be like, hey, would love to grab lunch and just get to know each other better. And so he was like, yeah, perfect. Like, there's a restaurant right by the office. Let's meet up there.
Yep.
And so I went, met with him, and told him, like, this is what I want to do. Like, music is my number one. Like, whether anybody knows it or not, it's truly my passion.
That's sick. Since a young age, you got the drums, right?
Yeah. So like, I started out with drums and grew up singing and but only in front of my family, really. And I grew up around it. My grandma would play like the throwback records that inspire me today.
Uh-huh.
And and so from then on, we just stayed in touch and kept meeting. And he was like, well, if I'm gonna help you, like if you are really gonna do this, like if you're serious about it, you need songs. Like you can't just show people covers and be like, so I was like, all right, cool. I'll go home and write a song. And I had the hardest time because I was like, oh, like this is different than just learning how to play a guitar, playing the keys.
Yeah.
But it's writing your own. So I was like, all right. And I met this songwriter like very soon after. It, like everything, like honestly, stars aligned.
Yeah.
Like, and it was, it worked out so amazingly. And I met this guy and his name's Patrick Hartman. He's a songwriter. And he, we were singing this song and he was like, yo, like, are you an artist? And I was like, taken back. I was like, no one's ever asked me that.
Yeah.
And I was like, yeah. Like, it's my first time saying, yes, I'm an artist. And from then on, I was like, all right, that's the attitude I need to have. Like, cause
the confidence in what you are doing.
And the belief in myself. And he was like, well, show me something of yours. And I was like, I don't have
it. On the spot.
Yeah.
Like, okay.
He was like, show me something. Like, do you have any music? I was like, no. He's like, do you have anything out on Spotify? I was like, no. He's like, well, I have this song. He played it for me. He was like, if you want to cut it, you can. I was like, yeah, sure. Like, I just was itching to get into a studio and record.
Yeah.
And so I met up with him again, and I recorded this song. He was like, how about we schedule something tomorrow and we write? Because he just liked my voice. Uh-huh. And I was like, sick. Yeah, let's do it. And so I got into the studio, and I had one of my friends in Shreveport in town. His name's Judah. My other buddy, Trey Schaefer, who was also on MadCon down the line for the second time around.
Got it.
And we all hung out, and it all started out, we were just hanging out, and then we ended up in the studio and going through some tracks, and we landed on this song and we wrote it, and I was like, wow, like that was my first time writing a song, and okay. I actually really enjoy it. And still to this day, I listened to it like a couple days ago, and I was like, I can't believe I wrote this, my first, like the first song I wrote.
What was it called for everyone that wants to listen to
it? It's called Body Talk, but it's not out. It's
Out?
No, no.
Oh, okay.
I don't think it'll be released. Just
ever.
Maybe one day they okay. can come back to this and be like, hey.
There it is, it got
but,
you.
It was called Body Talk, and
okay.
I immediately after I got it, after I recorded it, I sent it to my guy, Joe Izzy at WME.
Okay.
And he was like, oh, this is great. Like, I'm like, send me more when you get them. So I wrote three songs and I sent them all three. He's like, all right, now I'm gonna start really working on this.
Okay, like seeing how we can help necessarily?
Yeah, seeing okay. how he can help me.
Got it.
Because he's a scripting agent, but yeah, he's yeah. also, like, he's familiar with music.
Yeah, and the world and yeah. the people, everything.
And so he was a big help, him and this girl, Alex Levitt. And yeah, they immediately started getting me into meetings with lawyers and management meetings. And the first people he hit up are my current managers now. And they were like, no, like we're not even meeting with him.
Okay.
And I was like, ah, like he told me, he was like, these are your guys, but they're saying no, like I'm gonna be working on it. Like, don't okay. worry. I was like, all right. So I met around and I didn't have the gut feeling of like, yo, like, I feel it.
Like, did you have like a, hey, I want to sign this label or this group or whatever it was? Like, did you have a plan there? Or was it more so like, hey, I want to work with yeah. people who want to work with me sort of mentality?
So with management, I wasn't familiar.
Okay.
So as I started to meet with people, I was like starting to become more familiar. And then, he hit up my guys at Lighthouse three or four times. And they said no. And then one night, they all live on the same street and they were out. And on the way home, he rode with them. He's like, let me just play you one of his songs. And he played the Body Talk song.
Okay.
And they were like, okay, like, this is actually really good. Like,
that's sick.
Who wrote it? And he was like, he did with this person, this person, this person. And they were like, all right, cool. Like, we'll meet with him.
Got it.
And so, just give like, me the meeting. Like, okay. not even saying they're going
to
manage.
I think that's important, though. So, like, in this process, like, you had something to show. Like, you had,
yes.
Like, I always tell people, right? It's like the execution that people respect. That's what yes. puts you forward. So, it's like, you weren't saying you were going to do something. You didn't say, hey, I'm going to learn the guitar, but sign me. It's like, you were working on your craft. You were investing in yourself. Yes. You were in the right place in LA. And that was your intent. And then things happen. You know, I think
yes.
it's just leading up to this point, like, that was a key moment of, like, you actually had something to show and you
yeah.
had the right people, but it didn't just happen. You made it happen, but it didn't align moving forward, but only looking backwards, right? So
yeah.
I just wanted to point that out because I think a lot of people
like looking back, I'm like, okay, yeah.
It makes sense, but like you knew exactly yeah. where you needed to be, but you didn't know how it was gonna happen. And
yeah,
I think that's a very important lesson that I wanted to highlight.
Yeah.
It's just like, you knew exactly what you wanted. You didn't know how it was gonna happen, but it happened.
Yeah.
Therefore, you created that situation. So
yeah.
continue though. I wanted to point that out because it's super important.
But where was I? I was saying,
you listened to the song in
oh,
the
yeah,
car.
Oh yeah, listened to the song, agreed to meet with me,
yep.
that's it. Just like, oh yeah, whatever, we'll meet with him. And so we met and we just hit it off and they were like, okay, like we're gonna really give you a chance.
Okay.
And so I kept meeting with them and sent them more stuff that I was working on. They were like, all right, like they
said. And these are what type of people, just so the clarification, these are managers
music
or?
Music managers,
okay,
yes.
music managers at record labels necessarily?
No, not.
Or just managers that can then?
Just managers.
Okay, got it.
So in the midst, I met my attorneys as well, and that was great. And I had the gut feeling with them. I was like, these are my guys. I know I can trust them.
Yeah.
They're awesome at what they do. And then I met with my managers now, and
okay.
same feeling. I was like, these are my guys. But what I really loved about them is I didn't just get handed something. They had to be like, are you gonna put in the work? Are you gonna really,
yeah.
like, is this legit?
Got
it. Really the question they were asking themselves of like, is this kid legit? So I had to prove myself to them instead
okay.
of all the, not necessarily all the other meetings that I took, but it felt more of like them proving themselves to me. Like it was a meeting where I felt like I was choosing, but the people that I chose, I had to prove myself to them,
yeah.
if that makes sense.
Absolutely.
Like I had to be like, this is, look, I'm gonna work really hard. I really believe in myself. And I really just, I like the music that I make.
Yeah.
And so I would love to have you guys if.
But you had to prove yourself. Yeah, that's important. They weren't just really like, oh my gosh. It was like, hey, what are you going to do? Yeah. Why do you want to do it? Sort of mentality.
And someone that was going to invest in me rather than just, all right, you have a couple million followers on social media. Let me snag you, put out a couple songs, and make a buck.
Yeah.
Like someone that's
super important.
That's my cool. vision is I want a long-term career. Yeah. I don't want to just have a flash in the pan. I want a sustainable career. And that's what I was looking for in managers that were going to partner with me on that and have the same vision. And we hit it off. And from then on, they set me up in a couple sessions and started making music. And after I had a bit of music that I was happy with, we started meeting with labels. And
that's so cool.
Went into...
And this is just for the time's sake. It's 2019 now. You just turned 21.
Yeah.
You moved out here at 18. When was that point of like... You're getting your feet on the ground, you're getting people, you're starting to sit down with labels. Like, what was that time process of moving out at 18? Where are we now in the story?
So 2017, early 2017, like I moved out here 2016 of late October. I was settled in November. I met Joe in mid November.
Okay.
And then December, I wrote those three songs.
Got it.
That sent to him. And then in January, in January or February, I started meeting with managers and people. And then I think February, March is when I met with my managers.
And that's so 2018. So you were out there from like almost, was it a year before things started picking up? I'm just super curious in terms of timing.
It was like a month and a half when I met. Like of me living here.
Okay.
Like when I met Joe. Like it was like right off the bat of me moving here.
Got it.
And after that, it was like.
Things just started to connect.
It was like slow clicks of like, okay, I wrote this song. I wrote this song.
Okay.
I wrote this song. And then I met with them. And then I started to pick up more and more and more. And just staying on top of like that being my priority.
Yeah.
Of like, I wasn't like going out and partying and hanging out, like I was fully dedicated to
your craft,
my craft, and making this work.
Yep.
And so around like that summer is when I started to meet around with labels, like the summer after moving here.
Okay.
In 2017, so I started meeting around with like Republic, Interscope, Hollywood, Warner, Capitol.
Yep.
And I can't even think of them off the top of my head, but
there's a lot of
we met around with everybody, and we met with Capitol, and I had the same feeling I had with my attorneys and my managers, and I was like, all right, like these guys are aligned with my vision and are willing to invest in me the same way my managers are, and I am in myself, and they're really gonna put in the time and not try to rush things and really have something to build rather than just capitalizing on something that already exists.
For sure.
And building something that has a concrete foundation and something that's long lasting.
For sure.
And after we met with Capitol, I was like, I really feel good about my team.
About that deal. So, I want to bring it to fruition. So,
it was a bit of back and forth.
So, you're just not shopping around, but like you're meeting with all these different labels, and your goal at the time is, I want to sign to a label, correct? Like that is the definite desire. And I just want to help walk people through like them setting goals, you know, them saying, okay, here's what I want to do. This is why I want to do it. The day you sign, what is that feeling like? When did it happen? Do you remember it like it's yesterday? And like just kind of walk us through like what that feeling was. Cause I think it's important to really like talk about this.
It was super, like I have the chills thinking about it. It was super sick because like the week of me meeting around with these labels and then the week of me signing, I was watching the Defiant ones.
Okay.
And I remember it was like the last episode, Eminem was like, I'll never forget the day I walked into the Interscope office and I sat down, Jimmy Iovine, Dr. Dre, and John Janik.
Yeah.
I forgot the names mixed up, but he was like Jimmy Iovine and Dr. Dre. I'll never forget that first meeting of me walking in, and I watched that the night before I walked in and signed my
He said that?
No, Eminem was saying that on the show. And then I was like thinking to myself, I was like, I'm going into Capitol Records tomorrow with Ashley Newton, Steve Barnett, Jeremy Vernick, like my A&R.
That's so insane.
And I was like, I'll never forget tomorrow whether like that's going to be a memory for the rest of my life. And I was just so pumped. And yeah, I walked
that's
in
insane.
And I had apple cider because I was, how old was I? It was February 2018. So I was
17. That's when you signed?
Or I was 19.
Okay.
Yeah. And I was 19 when I signed.
Okay.
2018, February. And then, I locked myself away in the studio for about the next, I was locked in the studio for like 2 years.
Wow.
I released this year, 2018, 19. So I was locked away for a while.
Wow, that's insane.
And just working on that really, and that's why I had like a kind of downtime in social media, because I was just fully dedicated to
your craft,
crafting
new, like,
my
journey,
sound, my stories that I want to tell, like my experiences while going through new things that I'm writing about today.
Yeah.
And yeah, it's just been.
That's so insane though. So that's early 2018 you signed.
Yes.
That was a massive pivoting point. And I do want to touch on, so like ever since that day moving forward, has it been a change of, for example, like you creating music, what would you say like to any artist or aspiring artist out there, like your craft, when you create a song, is it something you could walk into a studio and create a song instantly in a day, or do you put long thought process, and is it, I just want to know, hear like your process, because I think it's different for everyone.
Yeah, every single day is different.
Okay.
Some days I like I could have a concept right now and be like, get me to the studio, I need to make this song.
Yeah.
And then it comes out right then. Sometimes I'm like, get me to the studio, I need to write this song. I get to the studio and I'm like,
what am I
it's
writing?
Like, what am I doing? Like constantly it's like am I gonna be able to write another song today?
Okay.
Like it's always different, but like sometimes it happens in 15 minutes, sometimes it happens in 9 hours.
Okay.
Like my song Attitude, my first single.
Yep.
We had an entire session before that. We wrote a completely different song. And at the very end of the session, we were like, let's just throw on a track and write to it.
Okay.
And we wrote the first verse, pre and chorus in 30 minutes. And
that's
then
insane.
It just came together like that.
Yeah.
And yeah, it's always different every single day. Like,
okay, got it. And as we're like wrapping up here, I just want to say, in terms of music and creation in the studio, what would you say the most important thing is that you do now? Is it the instruments? Is it the meeting people? How do you live your day-to-day life? Because I wanted more to talk about like daily habits, right? And like how you are continuing to become the best version of yourself, right? You're signed to a label. You've had millions of followers for years on end, but you're really dedicating your time to music and your craft. And like, I really want to know for the people watching now in 2019, like Aaron Carpenter, if you were to look at his week, like what would you say you spend your time on that allows you to propel yourself forward? You know what I'm saying?
So it starts out with having a schedule, like having like a schedule, like I'm gonna wake up, I'm gonna do this, and then it starts with learning from your mistakes, like practice.
Okay.
And like I play guitar every single day now. I play piano not as often because I'm working on guitar.
Yeah.
And I sing every single day, all day.
Okay.
And constantly thinking of like, what can I do right now to be better, like at what I do. So I'm constantly like being inspired by the littlest things, like that room over there. I was like, this is sick, like this is so beautiful. Like it's very like chic, very minimal, like, and it
absolutely
it's just weird, like being able to let yourself be inspired by everything.
The little things and the biggest things.
Yeah. And
that's cool.
Kind of just learning, like opening yourself to learning, like being open-minded and changing your perspective of things you already look. Like it's just learning everything about what you want to do and how you can be the best
version of yourself and itself.
Okay. Yeah, essentially the version of yourself. Like me with guitar, I knew how to play. Like when I first moved out here, I would learn how to play, like say, like if my song was out, I'd look up how to play Chase by Aaron Carpenter on guitar. Yeah. And I would learn how to play, but then I was like, all right, I want to understand what I'm playing. And I want to know how to hear a random song and be like, all right, I'm playing a G, E minor, A, D, and like learn how to find that just by hearing it. And just learning everything you possibly can learn. And for that's what I did with social media, is like learning absolutely everything I could possibly have learned about it.
Got it.
And really just worked at it every single day.
That's so cool. So for music wise, in terms of like releases of songs moving forward, based on what you can talk about, like what is the I would say like your life moving forward, how often are you dropping songs and album? Like what should people know moving forward?
Yeah.
Where can they listen? We're not wrapping it up yet. We're about to be, but just in terms of music, where can people find more and just learn more about what's up to come?
Yes. So as of right now, we're not like, there's no pattern to my release schedule. It's more of what makes sense. And like sometimes like I'll say this about the next song that comes out.
Okay.
It's the most recent song I've written. So I could write a song tomorrow that could be out in 3 weeks from now. And it throws the whole schedule kind of off.
Yep.
And everything is constantly changing with that. But the best updates, I would say, on the music is my Twitter, YouTube.
Okay.
That's where I like, I talk the most on Twitter.
Okay. Do you, so you utilize Twitter
more than anything? Twitter's like, Twitter's... if I need to get a quick message out, like, hey, I have a new song coming out.
I got you.
Like either that or like my Instagram, like just social media in general, like all my platforms.
So
I just,
I want to say something really important. I would say just looking back, social media 2019, if you were to restart and say, okay, you have no Instagram today and you have to restart and build your brand, what would you tell someone that's looking to build a personal brand online and captivate an audience and build just a group of people, a following to then see their music or their product or their service, whatever it is, as someone that's been in the game for so long, you've seen so many changes happen on the platform. What advice would you give to an individual who's looking to start on social media today?
So this is probably... I mean, 100% something everybody has heard and would be considered cliche, but it's cliche for a reason. Like you hear it so much for a reason. Like your parents are like, don't stay out too late. Like if you stay out too late, downtown's kind of sketchy.
Yeah.
Like it's for a reason.
Yep.
I would say be yourself, like be honest and genuine, because that beats everything. Like you can't argue honesty. You can't argue truth. And that's something I still work on every day, is like being honest, being real, and being truth, like letting that be the narrative. Because what can you say about, like, you can't tell me my pants are not black.
Yeah.
You cannot tell me that.
Yeah, it's the truth. Like,
it's the truth.
Yep.
So I would say that and consistency and just content.
And would you say Instagram is still the most effective way to build a brand nowadays, or what does the social media landscape look like, you'd say?
I would say it's tough. Like it's different for everybody. Like you have people like Casey Frey on Instagram, whose Instagram popped off.
Yeah.
And then you have I'm trying to think of like a Twitter user that's like goes nuts. Like
I don't use Twitter that often, actually.
Like there's certain
mediums,
there's
different
like
mediums for different
there's
types
like
of people.
An old Twitter account called like Tweet Like a Girl that was like popping on Twitter.
Yeah.
And but I would just say across the board, like use it. I mean, use it all for sure. But I think videos are a great way to see someone's personality.
Okay. For sure.
Which I don't do enough of. I need to do more videos.
Okay, I got you. Dude, me as well.
Yeah.
So really, as like I said, I've said this twice already, as we're wrapping up, how do you stay focused? I think with so much happening in LA, you have such an amazing group of people, and I'm sure there's so many things that pop up. What would you describe yourself as when you stay focused? How do you stay focused? What would you want to tell someone if someone has all these different opportunities? Because I've seen a pattern here of like, hey, you want to learn Rubik's Cube? You conquer it. Hey, you want to learn drums? You do it. Social media pops up. You master it, right? And now music. So like you've mastered all these different crafts one by one and you're focused on it, right? You're not trying to do all of them at once. So what has been your, I would say, how do you, not how do you stay focused, but what has been your step-by-step guide to staying focused that you'd want to tell someone?
I mean, for me, it's all just the reason why I was so focused is because I was genuinely so interested in it and so passionate about it. And I would say also is your environment, who you surround yourself with, and like limiting your distractions.
Yeah.
Like, because yeah. I'm a very, like, I get distracted so easily. So being able to focus on something, yep. I have to really be, it has to really captivate me.
Absolutely.
And yeah.
Got it. And all right, so last question to wrap it up. You're 14, 15 years old. Looking back, you're 21 years old. Throughout that journey itself, what would you tell the young Aaron based on the journey that you've been in so far, of just the, whether that's the littlest things to the biggest things? Like, what would be a lesson you'd want to tell a young person that's getting ready to start their journey, whether it's in business and entrepreneurship or music or anything related to just believing in yourself, the self-confidence game? What would you tell them looking back on your journey?
If I could go back and tell myself like one thing, I would say quit questioning yourself. Like, trust your gut way more.
Okay,
and
that's real.
That, cause, like, just from the things I've gone through, I know what I should have done in the moment, and I would just question myself, and I would back out, and it would hold me back a lot. So the more I grew out of that, the more I started progressing.
Yeah,
and yeah, because I like, there was no way ever I would have ever done this when I was. I would have been so scared out of my mind.
Like, interview now, or what?
Yeah, an interview in front of two cameras, like, absolutely okay. not. I would have done that. But, because I would just question myself. I'd be like, I don't know, like, if I'm, like, smart enough or if I'm good enough. For, it was just very in my head, and I would question everything, and I was just not confident. Like, believe in myself. Quit questioning it and trust my gut. Like, those are three great.
I love it, man.
Like, they're very almost simple, cliche, simple, but like, you hear them so much for a reason.
It's the truth.
Like, it's great advice.
I love it. So, I mean, that being said, everyone, Aaron, where is the best place that people can stay connected with you, learn more about the music coming out soon, and just stay updated with your life? I'm sure we can link them down below, but what's the best place?
I would say Twitter and Instagram are two great places, but.
Got it. And everyone watching, I'll make sure to link them down below. Aaron, brother, I just want to say thank you so much for coming
out. Thanks so much for having me.
This was his first podcast ever. Ever. And also, real quick, before we wrap up, I just want to give the last time a big shout out to the location. Real quick before we wrap up. Say it again one time. Oh. Okay, so real quick before we wrap up, I just want to give a big shout out to the Location Portal for allowing us to shoot at this beautiful spot here in Los Angeles. And that being said, make sure you go follow Aaron down below. Check him out on Twitter. Check him out on Instagram. Stay tuned for the music coming soon. And that being said, I'll talk to you guys soon.
Let's go.
Monarch, Legacy of Monsters, an Apple original series.
The world is on fire. I decided to do something about it.
On November 17th.
This place, it's not ours. Believe me.
The most massive event of the year arrives.
If you come with me, you'll know everything, I promise.
Oh my God, go, go, go!
Monarch, Legacy of Monsters. Streaming November 17th, only on Apple TV+.